You're listening to the world's greatest talk radio station, KGO San Francisco 810 on the AM dial all over the West Coast, and millions out there listening to you when you call in this program. But now I have a special for you. By popular request over this year, I've had hundreds and hundreds of letters saying, please, 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 play the saga of Andy the Cowboy for us again. So I said, look, when it's a good cheer time, and here we are, the holidays, all of those honeymooners out there who rushed out to get married after they heard about Andy and his girlfriend, this is a special for them, and it is very special, I think. And here are the original calls from Andy the Cowboy. Some months ago, a cowboy, delightful, lovable fellow up in northern Nevada somewhere, called me for the second time. The first time he called me because his D9 bulldozer was broken down and he was at wit's end and about ready to quit because he couldn't clear the sagebrush to stay alive. And luckily he happened to mention what was wrong with it, and I happened to know how to fix it because I grew up on those mangy things when I was a kid in later years. But then he called back a second time last spring with an absolutely delightful story that never seems to end, in the mail at least. And by popular demand, I'm going to replay for you now those original two calls that came in that night. And I think you'll understand why so many people have been writing and calling about what happened to Andy. So here it is. Hello, here on from Nevada. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Andy, I'm out there east of Carson City.
You're on the sagebrush somewhere.
Oh, yeah, way out, too. You helped me out in the past, you know, on the dozers and that, you know, on that old 66A of mine.
Oh, you're the guy that had the D9 bulldozer, and they were going to stick you 10 grand, and we fixed it for 300.
That's right.
How's it running?
Oh, it's running great. Everything's going good on the ranch, you know. I got another doggone problem.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'll start out the way it began. I was riding a fence next to the road coming into the ranch, you know, and I seen dust coming down the road. I never paid a heck of a lot of attention to it. It was one of those little fancy sports cars.
Uh-huh.
Well, this car, it stopped about 50 feet from me there, and the dog was there with me, and he tried to run up to the car, and I could see it was a woman. They had California plates on the thing, and well, I rode up, and, you know, I asked her if she was having car problems, and she said no, and she didn't appear to be lost, and I asked her about that, and she said no. She just kept staring at me, you know. That thing, dog there, he tightened up the doggone spokes on that car for her, you know. Who's that dog? But she didn't see that, and she kept staring, and I didn't know what the... I kind of got uneasy about it, you know.
Well, what was she staring at? The horse? You or what?
Kind of staring at me and the horse.
Uh-oh.
I didn't know what the heck was going on. I asked her if she wanted a cup of coffee, and she said, yeah. And she said, where, though? And I said, well, just follow me up to the ranch. It's only about a mile from here. And, well, she rode behind me, you know, and we went up there to the ranch. We had a cup of coffee. It was getting towards evening. I asked her if she wanted something to eat. She said, sure. So I fried up some venison, potatoes, you know, and she never had venison before, you know. And she said she kind of liked that. She kind of opened up, you know what I mean, and started talking a little bit. But she still had that faraway look in her eye, you know. I couldn't figure that out. Well, it was towards evening there, and I said, well, you want to stay over because it's a long drive down? She said, yeah. So, well, I went out there to the bunkhouse, and well, I kind of tightened things up because nobody's been there, you know, since the spring roundup last fall. And she said, thanks and everything. Well, I went back to the house. Well, hell, it must have been about 2 o'clock. And the dog started grazing cane and everything, and I went to the door, and she met me at the door. And I said, what the heck's going on, you know? You know? So, well, she said she was scared. She heard some howling out there. I figured it was a damn coyote, you know? She was scared and everything. She wanted to stay in the house. Well, Bill, to make a long story short, I sure as hell didn't get up before them chickens, hadn't it? You know, I mean, an imp coyote, I don't think I'll shoot another coyote, because
Well, now you got me going. Hey, this sounds like old home to me. Is she still there?
No, she took off. Well, I took her riding the next day, and we went fishing and that, you know. And well, she kind of opened up. She said she was having problems. She didn't say where. I ain't trying to pry into that, you know.
Well, so far, I don't... Here's what I'm trying to get. You said you had a problem. So far, this sounds like it's a good story.
Oh, the doggone gal, she took off, old Bill.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
How long did she stay there?
3 days.
And she just drove up in the sports car and saw you riding fence and decided to stay.
Yeah, well, I was real uneasy there for a long time, you know, and she just kept working out into the doggone distance and that, you know.
Say, Andy, how old are you?
Well, I'm about 30.
You ever had a girlfriend before?
Not too many,
All right, normally I wouldn't dwell on this, but let me ask you a couple of questions. You're basically wondering whether she's going to come back.
You're darn right, Bill.
Oh, she didn't tell you?
No, not really. She said that, well, there was somebody, some part of California down there, she had somebody wasn't treating her right. And, well, I told her, I said, well, she seemed to be a hell of a nice girl, you know. I had to drag somebody like that with a horse who wouldn't treat a girl like
Hey, Andy. Look, first of all, let me give you a little advice. This is an old story. I know where you're coming from. But don't go throw a rope on that dude now, because what'll happen if you do that is invariably, you'll never understand this to women, but she'll feel sorry for him, and that'll be lights out for you.
All right.
Now, let me ask you a few questions.
Sure.
Did she spend a lot of time just sitting and staring off in the distance and not saying anything?
Yeah. She had that faraway look in her eye, Bill.
She did?
Yeah.
Did she say anything else to you about why she was there or what her desires were?
She said she wasn't getting along wherever she came from. Somebody wasn't treating her right, and she kind of liked it out. She even said she'd like to have kids, you know, someday.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, can't say that's good nor bad, but... Did you show her a good time while she was there?
Went fishing, you know. She didn't have no good clothes, you know. I mean, Levi's to ride that horse. All she had was dresses. And, you know, I cut a pair of my old Levi's off, and they was a little long, you know. And she rode the horse. She liked that getting out. She kind of opened up, you know.
And she didn't say she was going to come back, though.
No, and that's the thing that's bugging me, you know.
Uh-huh.
I miss that gal. She seemed to be a heck of a good gal, you know what I mean?
How long did she stay?
3 days, Bill.
Well, Andy, look, I'll tell you something. And this is a guess now. A guess right on your bulldozer. All you have to do is take it at face value. I went through much the same thing when I was about 25. The thing you got to learn with women is that by the time you figure out why they're there, they're gone sometimes, see?
Yeah.
But in your case, if you just keep it cool, I'd say that if your horse likes alfalfa hay, she's going to be back.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the thing you got to make sure you don't do, and I'll try to put this in words you understand from the ranch, okay?
Yeah.
Now, don't worry about the fact that she went back to wherever this guy is, because she's probably got a big battle that she's got to fight all on her own, and there's no way you can help her. And if you try to push her, you're going to mess it up.
I see what you...
Let me see. You remember what it felt like the first time you had to go put a good cow pony out of his misery?
Yeah.
You know what it's like? Nobody could tell you had to do it.
That's right.
Nobody could tell you when to do it.
Yeah.
You had to take that poor critter over behind the barn and say your respects in your own way, and you didn't want anybody standing around seeing the tears in your eyes, but you knew you had to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably what she's going through.
I got you, Bill.
And you've just got to let her do it. Yeah, I would imagine what you've said, she found something she liked from what you just said she behaved. That's a very characteristic symptom. I'll tell you, the symptoms you just described in the human female are an incurable disease, and it's called, this here wagon train ain't going my way anymore. I'm going to get off and walk my own trail.
Oh, I see what...
And that trail that she's going to start walking leads right up to your kitchen door again.
Well, that wouldn't hurt my feelings any if she came back, because, you know, we went out fishing, and most of the time all I ever done is work, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I did something different, you know. I'm glad to get you out.
All right, well, look, why don't you just hang tight? Think of what I told you. Don't go looking for her or raising hell with a boyfriend. Women are crazy, you know. If you go in there and knock on this guy, they're going to pick him up. She's going to pick him up and bandage him and take him home and feel sorry for him.
Let's see what you're...
But you let her fight her own battle, and I'd be willing to bet you right now she's trying to figure out how to get rid of that sports car or tell him where to stick it. Dump her clothes and say her goodbyes, and women are crazy in this way. The guy might be the worst guy in the world, but they always seem to want to be gentle with him.
I see what...
The women sort of take the attitude, even with a bully, that, well, the poor guy did his best, so I'll try to let him down as easy as I can, and then they make their decision, they're gone. But if she's made a decision, she liked where she was with you, there ain't no wild horse that's going to keep her from getting back there, okay?
See what you're saying? Well, I was just kind of playing my cards.
Well, you hang tight, because I'll tell you, women problems are a lot more trouble than fixing your bulldozer. I wished it would have been the bulldozer. I could have told you for certain.
You know, you helped me out on that dang cat, you know, and saved me a lot of money, but this one here, I just have no idea about it, you know.
Well, again, I'd be willing to make you a big bet from what you've described, that you're going to see her on that back porch when you least expect it. So just hang tight, keep you cool, and go out and clear some more sagebrush and plow a little more alfalfa and get ready, okay?
I hope so, girl. Hey, well, thanks for helping me out on it anyway.
All righty. Well, you take care now, and thanks for calling.
Hey, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was the original call from Andy last spring at about 10:15 in the evening. And, of course, we all had a tear in our eye here in the studio after hearing that and wished him well. But then came one of the great, second great moments in radio on this program, at least at any rate. At about 10 minutes after 11 on this show, the phone rang again, and here was Andy. And it looks like we have this fellow Andy back on the line again. I guess he left something out. Hello there.
Oh, Bill.
Yes. What's happening?
Hey, I got some good news. I had to drive back to tell you this here. Well, I got home, you know, and Seb, he's a neighbor. He got the telephone at home there, out by home, and he said that the girl called his place, and she was listening to the radio somewhere down there in Los Angeles somewhere. She told him to come over and tell me that she'd be on the bus in 2 days after she sells that doggone sports car. And she said, tell him she was going to buy a pair of Levi's, too.
Why, you lucky devil, you lucky devil. Hey, now you know what I got to worry about. Let's hope her boyfriend wasn't listening to this show, too, and I end up with that sports car shoved right up my left ear.
Oh, hey, we'll drag him with a horse if anything.
Hey, you're a delightful fellow. Hey, it's too bad the world didn't get all of its problems solved as easily as yours. Oh, hey, that's good news.
Well, hey, Bill, thanks a million. I really...
Well, don't thank me. It looks like you solved the problem.
Called you, she'd have never even heard of me, maybe.
Yeah, hey, now I want to give you a little warning.
What's that?
This is an awful familiar story you've been telling me here now, but what I would do if I were you before she gets in on that bus is I'd saddle up one of your ponies.
Yeah.
I'd go into the nearest general store.
Yeah.
I'd buy all the Wheaties I can get on pack horse.
Yeah.
I'd get about 2 gallons orange juice, and I'd hire somebody to feed the chickens and milk the cows for a couple weeks, because there's another little thing I didn't tell you about. And I hope she isn't listening.
Yeah.
But this really smells like the situation where somebody's got about 5 years to make up, and you're it, my friend.
You think so, Bill?
Yeah, you lucky devil, you.
Hey,
I don't want to spoil it for you.
Okay, I remember that.
Hey, well, good luck there, cowboy.
Thanks a lot.
And I'll tell you, you're going to find out the D9 bulldozer is a lot easier to fix than this problem. Just take care of her.
Okay.
Take her fishing out there. Keep her happy. You won't have any problems.
No, hell, I'm happy as heck now.
Yeah, wait until you have to feed the other 3 or 4. Come along.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome. Now, we want to hear more of your story. Call me in about a year.
Oh, good.
Yeah. When you get enough energy, pick up the telephone.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. Well, those were the two original calls from Andy the Cowboy. There was a third one. We don't have time here, but it was interesting. But that was the essence of that story, and so many people have followed it since then. For your information, I've heard from Andy once in a while. recently here a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, he and his lady love and one or two children, I've forgotten now, had to leave the ranch. They had trouble with people who call themselves environmentalists. They were trying to clear enough sagebrush to be able to plant enough alfalfa to make a living. And they got tangled up with somebody calling their property a wetland, which had been farmed for, I guess, 100 years. But nevertheless, threw in the towel and went to work for construction. And he's been roaming, he and his family have been working around the West Coast in various construction jobs. So that was the latest. At any rate, that was Andy the Cowboy. I hope those of you wanted it had a chance to hear it. We continue now in just a moment with the open line to the West Coast, and shortly at 11 o'clock, back on the subject of HMOs with Dr. Bill Palmer, Dr. Philip Alper, and others, I hope, discussing some of the real problems with these mangled care operations, as so many people call them. KGO time now is 10:51. Hey, we're...